And we need to be prepared a lot of times. We enter into a new year. We have no idea what that might bring. Sometimes we get good news. Sometimes we get bad news. But as we sang that song, he's always there walking with us. Amen. We may not understand it. We may not be able to see with our natural eyes why God is taking us down a particular path. But we do have that confidence, we are assurance that, you know, all things work for the good of those who are called by God, who love God, yep, called according to his purposes. So we need, if anybody should be encouraged, it should be us as people of God. Amen?
Amen.
So let's pray right now, and I'm sure Pastor John is going to continue on that vein. And just like Alex's coat laying in, he's got a surprise for us this morning. Amen? How many like surprises?
Amen.
Esther does. Every time she goes in that kitchen on Sunday, she's surprised because I hear about it. Amen. Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for Esther too, Lord. And we thank you, you know, we thank you for those that are involved in that morning ministry. Lord, those that come in early, that sacrifice of their time. And Lord, take time to feed us. And Lord, we know there's a lot of preparation that goes into it. Now, I know Pastor John, he takes his time, Lord, to feed us, and the preparation that goes in. Now, we ask, Lord, that you would move mightily upon him. Lord, that your hand would be stretched forth, and that the words that he speaks today would bring encouragement, would bring vision, would bring edification, and even correction if we need it. And, Father, we thank you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you remember last week, I spoke about understanding God's will for our life. And the scripture that I started out with was in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Starting there, it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." You know, God thought it was important enough for us to go after, to get a hold of his will, to understand his will, that he put that verse of scripture in his word to be there for all time for us to see. We are his creation, and God's desire for us is that we be wise. Not foolish, but wise. God knows that walking in his path, in the paths of his wisdom and in his righteousness and in the path of blessing is something great. It's something wonderful if we want to be blessed in this life. And so he explains this even further than in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Starting there, it says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rains came and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against his house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain came and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash." Building is a process. It's a process that goes on and on and on until the day we leave this earth. God's building something into you and into me. He's building his life, his self, his word, his truth. And he wants us to get hold of that, to understand it. So if we want our life to make sense, if we want to build wisely and with a purpose, and if we want to live a life that is fulfilled and a life that is truly blessed, we need to know God's will for our life. He designed us. He created us. He knows. Psalm 139:13, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." Who else would know better what can bring us the most blessed, the most fulfilled, the most, you know, wonderful, the most purposeful, the most successful, the most victorious life? Who else could know that but God, our Creator? It's his anointing that breaks the yoke It's by knowing His truth, getting that word into us, that we will be set free to become the person that God created us to be, which is the best possible version of you and me. There's no better way you can be than from what God created you to be. And it's only by understanding and walking in His will that we will ever find the kind of success that will truly satisfy our soul. So with all that in mind, the question remains. This is what we talked about last week. So now what today I want to talk about is how do we get to this place where we really understand God's will? What can we do to get hold of His will so that we can walk in that will and we can begin to see the benefits of that will, that we can begin to see His purpose in our life and we can see it unfolding and becoming a reality? Well, the first thing I want to look at is that we need to have a willing heart that is open to hearing God's will. We have to have that kind of inside desire in us that we want what God's got for us. We got to want it. We can't just not care. We got to want it. We got to have a desire to know what does God want for us. That's important. You remember the prophet Samuel? You know, he didn't start out as a prophet. And he started out as a young boy, and that's how he's explained in the scriptures there. But he was a young boy that had a heart for God. Even though he didn't really understand what was going on yet, he had a heart for God, and he was open to hearing, open to listening, open to finding out, finding God. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions." The reason it was rare is because Eli was not a good priest. And his sons were working in the temple, and his sons were corrupt. God was not being honored. In fact, he was being blasphemed by what they did. And so because of that, the word of the Lord was rare. So one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming weak, so weak that he could hardly see, was lying down in his usual place, in his easy chair. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran into Eli because he thought that's who was calling him. And he said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and lie down." So he went back and he laid down and he hears it again, "Samuel." And he thinks it's Eli again. And so Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Eli said, "My son, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. At this point, Samuel didn't really know God's voice. He didn't recognize, obviously, didn't recognize God's voice. He didn't understand what God was going to do in his life, what he was doing, why he was there. He knew he was supposed to be there. He knew God was good. He slept in there with the ark. He wanted to be in God's presence, but he still didn't really have a grasp of what was going on. But his ears were open. So the third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and he went to Eli and he said, "Here I am, you called me." Now Eli's got to be getting tired of this by now. But then all of a sudden he realizes that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go back and lie down. And if he calls you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his regular place. And the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, I bet he was waiting that time. I bet he didn't even go to sleep. He's probably thinking, like, okay, is he going to call me? Is he going to call me? What's he going to say? Now I know this is God. He's probably getting excited. He knew about God. He knew God was great. He'd heard that all his life, but he didn't know God yet. And he says, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. God had warned Eli, get rid of your sons. Get them out of this temple. They're corrupting my temple. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. So Samuel lay down then, after he heard that, he lay down until morning. He opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and he was afraid to tell Eli what happened. That's his boss. He wants to go tell him, hey, your kids are going to die. He doesn't want to tell him that. But Eli called him over and said, Samuel, my son. Samuel said, yeah, here I am. It was you that called me this time, huh? What was it he said to you? Eli asked. And do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. So Samuel told him everything. Hiding nothing from him. And Eli said, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. He was resigned to his fate. So the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Imagine that. You know what that's saying? If you take a stop and think about that for a moment, he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Even at that young age, Samuel was a prophet. He started out young. And when he spoke, he heard from God. And when he spoke, it always happened. It always came through. He let none of his words fall to the ground. God let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Samuel was so open and so willing and so ready to hear God that he always heard what God was telling him. He understood God's voice now very clearly. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. So we, like Samuel, need to learn to recognize God's voice. In John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. In chapter 10, verse 5 of John also, they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Another thing that we can do to help understand God's will that we need to do is get close to the Holy Spirit. In these days, God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. John 16:13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you of what is yet to come. That's Jesus speaking. The Holy Spirit will counsel us. He guides us. He convicts us of sin. He reminds us of God's word, of what the words of Jesus. He empowers us to be bold, to be witnesses for God, to go out and speak for God. And he leads us into all truth. I mean, what more do we need? The Holy Spirit is working inside of us to help us to know and understand God's will. Without the Holy Spirit, we could never understand God's will. We could never follow God's will. Colossians 1:9, Paul says, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit brings. See, it's the Holy Spirit that is going to bring that understanding and that wisdom to us. So we need to allow the Spirit of God to have access, to move in our life. We need to listen to that voice. We need to get used to hearing that voice. Another thing we need to do is make sure that we are not too busy. Sometimes we just get too busy. We take on all these things, we do all these things, and there's nothing wrong with being a busy person, but we can't be so busy that we don't have time to take time for God. In fact, I believe as Christians we should be busy, but not too busy for God. There's a line there. One time when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, it says that he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. This is in Luke chapter 10, verse 39 and through 42. And it says that she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations she had to make. You know, Jesus comes into her home. How many times is he going to come into her home? Maybe once. He comes to her home to spend some time with her. He blesses her. And all she can think about is making stuff, doing this, cleaning up. She's probably vacuuming. She's probably, you know, straightening up all this stuff. You know, she's doing everything she needs to do to make the house look right, to make sure there's food, to make sure that everything is just right for Jesus. You know, and that's nice. That's good. I mean, it's wonderful to have your house clean and spotless and in order and have stuff made and stuff. But what does Jesus say? Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. So she came to him and she said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to work by myself? Tell her to help me. I'm tired. I'm busy, man. This is too much for me." Jesus, I love it. He goes, "Martha, Martha. You are worried and upset about many things. You're always worrying about all this stuff out there that's got to be done, but few things are really needed. Few things are really needed. Or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and I will not let that be taken from her." She chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. How much unnecessary work do we do? How many times do we think, you know, tonight, today, this morning, tomorrow, I'm going to get with Christ. I'm going to get down and I'm going to pray. I'm going to read. And then all these little busy things come up and get in the way. We get that one done and something happens in our mind. Oh, I just remembered. I got to do this. Oh, where's my Bible? Oh, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. First, I got to go do this. Now I can read. Oh, good. Oh, crap. Gee whiz. Oh, I forgot I got to do this. It just keeps coming. Too much stuff. But there's nothing more important than spending time with Christ. Hey, I'm just as guilty. We're all guilty of that. I know we are. Things come up. We got to stop. We got to take stock. We got to say, okay, I did that. Now I'm going to just stop from doing all this stuff. Because what is more important is getting together and spending some time with the Lord. If we don't take the time before to get before the Lord, then how are we ever going to understand what He wants from us? How are we going to know His will? How are we going to understand what He wants to tell us? Now, we saw some interesting things in the Word. We know that it's always possible to hear directly from God. Sometimes He's just going to come and tell us what to do. That's not as usual, where God just literally comes before you and tells you, or sends an angel and tells you, you know, you are with child. Don't divorce this person. Make sure you go and do this. A Savior's been born to you. I mean, it's happened. We saw plenty of times in the Bible where God speaks either directly or through an angel. What about Paul? Remember when he was going, you know, to Damascus? And it says all of a sudden all this light was around him and God spoke to him. why are you persecuting Paul? Why are Saul at that time? Why are you persecuting? Who are you? Who are you? I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. See, he was busy. He was busy doing the Lord's work, persecuting Christians. He thought it was God's work, but he had no idea. He was in the wrong profession. He was on the wrong side. And so he didn't understand God's will for his life. He understood the Jewish leader's will for his life. He understood the Pharisaical will for his life, but not God's will. Not at that time, not yet. But shortly after that, you know, he was blinded. And shortly after that, we find out in Acts 9:10 that there was a man called Ananias who had a vision that he was supposed to lay hands on Paul and pray for him, or Saul. And he's like, man, this guy's crazy. I don't want to pray for him. He's running around chasing Christians. He's persecuting him. He's throwing me in prison. Did you hear about Stephen, that what he did out there? I mean, gee, God, do I have to pray for him? But God told Ananias something. He said, this man, I love this, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. God can choose whoever he wants to do his will. Sometimes he chooses somebody who is very unlikely, but he chooses who he wants to do his will. And so there we see his chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles. You see, Paul had to do a total 180. First, he's persecuting the Gentiles, persecuting the Christians, and now he's going to go out and proclaim God's name. So Paul understood real soon that he was on a mission from God to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. God can speak to anyone or anything that he decides to use. Remember the donkey? The story of Balaam? Balak had called him and wanted him to go, you know, prophesy against the people of God. And God told Balaam not to do it. And so there's this one section. I'm just going to read a couple verses here in Numbers chapter 22. If you want to read the story, it's interesting. But so he's going with these guys. He wasn't even supposed to do anything with them, but he got all caught up on them. So God finally said, okay, go. Then go. In Numbers 22:28, it says, then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth. The donkey kept stopping. And he kept stopping, and he was banging, you know, Balaam into the stuff and you know, trying to, like, kneel down, stop him, whatever he could do to stop from going forward. And so then it says, the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, what have I done to make you beat me these three times? Three times he beat the donkey to get him going again. And Balaam answered the donkey. I'm thinking at this point, he just answered the donkey. You made a fool of me, he says. If only I had my sword in my hand, I would kill you right now. I would have been saying, when did you learn how to talk? You've been holding out on me all this time? What if your dog started talking to you one day at home? I don't like this food. I've been wanting to tell you that for years. Please. Man. So instead he just says, if I had a sword, I'd kill you. I wouldn't kill a talking donkey. He could take him on the circuit and make a lot of money from that, you know? There's a lot of talking donkeys out there that you could take out on the circuit right now that are foolish. Another thing we can do to get an understanding of God's will is to simply ask. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Remember, God wants a relationship with us. It's not like he's trying to hide himself. It's not like he's trying to hide, you know, our will from, oh, I don't want them to know. I don't want them to know what I expect from them. They're going to have to figure it out for themselves. That's not how God is. He wants to tell us. He wants to reveal some of these things to us that we need to know. So through prayer, we can communicate with Him. If we spend time with Him, we need to learn to listen as well as to speak. We can't just come up with a wish list, speak it all out, throw it out there, and then say, okay, get it for me, I'll see you. That's sort of adolescent, right? You know, just give me what I want and I'm out of here. True communication is a two-way street. God wants to not only to hear from us, but He wants to speak to us too. And prayer is His chosen vehicle. Jesus prayed all the time. He was continuously praying. We're told to pray without ceasing. Remember the parable in Luke 18? Then Jesus told His disciple a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. We call it the persistent widow. And He said, in a certain town there's a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to Him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time He refused, but finally He said to Himself, even if I don't fear God or care what people think, because this widow keeps bugging me or bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, He will see that they get justice and quickly. In other words, He'll answer the prayer. And of course, we need to get into the Word because God's Word is our lifeline. It's our most perfect and it's our most sure way. Because it is perfect. God's Word is flawless. It's eternal. It's perfect. And it's the most direct line to God Himself. In the Word, God reveals His character. He reveals His love for us, His plan for mankind, and the plan of salvation. He reveals the battles that we face, the enemies that we face, the blessings that can be ours, and He gives us a vision of the how and the where we can spend eternity with Him in heaven. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's why it's called the Word of Life. Because His Word gives us life. It opens up our heart, our mind, our eyes, our ears, everything to help us understand about God. And once we understand about God, we begin to understand more about who we are. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. God's Word will definitely help us understand His will. More, and what it does is it actually begins to renew our minds. As we read the Word, it begins to renew our minds. We see what is not right. We see what is wrong. And we see what is right. We see in God's Word. And as we take it in, as the Holy Spirit ministers to us, as we're reading the Word, and He begins to point out this thing. That's you. You need to do that. That we begin to learn what the proper way to live is. So our mind is renewed and we get transformed. So it says in the Scripture, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, there's a good, pleasing, and perfect will, not only in general, but there's one for your life. For your life. One for my life. And as we live our lives in this sin-filled world, it's God's Word that will steer us on the right path between all the dangers and all the hot spots and all the bad places. God's Word will help us to navigate through life. And at the same time, it will also help us be a light then to other people. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, it says, "Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." God can and will use every way, every method, every means that He can to reach us because He loves us so much. His unsurpassing love, this love that is beyond belief, beyond understanding. And because of that, He wants the best for us. He wants us to live an abundant life, and a life of abundant blessing, because He's a good, good Father. And every good gift comes down from our Father above. He loves to bless His children, just like you, I hope, love to bless your children. Don't you? He knows, and He wants us to know, that the only way that that's going to happen, all that blessing and all that abundant life, is when we are walking in the path of righteousness. And you know, when we say the path of righteousness, you know what that really means? For us, for each one of us individually, that path of righteousness is the path that is God's will for our life. When we're walking in God's will for our life, that is the path of righteousness. If we're in His will, if we're listening, if we're led by His Spirit, and we're doing it, that is the path of righteousness. It'll follow right along with the Word of God. James 1:22 through 25 says, "Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like somebody who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." When we are walking in God's will, when we get it from Him and then we do it, and we often get it right out of the Word, when we do that, we will be blessed in what we do. Do you want to be blessed? I want to be blessed. I'm greedy for God, and I'm greedy for God's blessings. I want His blessings. I'm not ashamed to say that. I want to be blessed to God to the max. Blessed, you know, from God to the max. And if I want to be blessed to the max, that means I have to follow His will to the max. The more we follow His will, the more we will be blessed. The further we stray from His will, the less we will be blessed. And if we go far enough, then we get into the realm of curses. I don't want anything to do with that. I want to move back over the line, get into the blessings, and then hopefully keep moving more and more and more into that perfect will so I can receive maximum blessing. Sounds like a good way to go, doesn't it? All right, if I could have the prayer team come forward, I'll read you one last scripture, and that's, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So, see, if we want to do this, if we really do want to walk in God's will, if we want, you know, this abundant, blessed life, this great, you know, life, we got to get rid of the stuff that's entangling us. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Or, in other words, let us run in His will. Let us run in His purpose. That's the race that's marked out for us, for each individual one of us. He has a plan for your life. And remember, His plans are never to harm you. They're always to bless you, to give you a hope and a future, to prosper you, because He loves you so much. He loves all of us so much. We got to get a hold of His will. We got to find some way. So I gave you some clues here today, and there's more. There's more things I could have put more. I could have kept on going, but time is done, so that's where I'm going to stop. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank You. We want to thank You, Lord, for being a God who reveals Himself to His people. Lord, You didn't just throw out a bunch of rules, bunch of laws, and then disappear from sight. You came here, You did everything that You could possibly do to make a way for us. You made a way when there was no way. You sent Your Son, Jesus, to die for us because we couldn't do it on our own. We needed the forgiveness of our sin. We needed the cleansing by the blood. We needed Your Holy Spirit. You did all the things that we needed to empower us, to enable us, to reveal to us what we need to be able to walk in Your will. So, Lord, we thank You for that. We give You all the praise, honor, and glory. And, Lord, I pray right now that You would anoint these here on the prayer team, Lord God, that as they pray, as they lay hands on somebody, that through their prayer, that we would receive an anointing of power, a blessing to come in and to change our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father.